add my word of welcome. Your voice kind of goes real fast sometimes when you walk. Let me add my word of welcome to Andrew's this morning. I am thankful for your presence here today. Those of you who are joining us online, those of you who are our guests, we are so thankful for your presence today. Glad that you are here. And we do want you to know that we want to welcome you. So please do stay around. Let us introduce ourselves. I met a family outside as they were coming in, and they are vacationing in Dallas. Now, I looked at that kind of weird, and I'm like, okay, are you guys from Alaska, and you just want to come? And they're like, no. We're from Alabama, so we're used to it. So anyway, if you're traveling through and you're here, or if you live in Dallas, we are thankful for your presence here today. As I prepared to get ready to talk and to preach this week, my oldest son, Hayden, my 24-year-old son, comes into the kitchen on Monday, and he's like, hey, Dad, is it okay if I invite guests to church on Sunday? And I'm like, no, son, please don't do that. And I had this look on my face, and I know, and he kind of looked at me and went, is it okay? And I said, no. Son, it's great. I said, I honestly, just as I'm standing here on Monday morning, I don't really know what I'm going to say. And in a way that only a 24-year-old can encourage his father, Hayden looked at me and he said, Dad, it's okay. You're not that bad of a speaker. Amen. So, I'm just telling you today, my goal is to not be that bad, okay? So you give me a grade at the end, but that's kind of the measuring stick by which we're going through today. When I was growing up, movies were not as popular. I mean, they weren't everywhere like they are now. You couldn't stay at home and watch 1,500 channels of movies. If you went to a movie, you had to go to the movie theater. Now, I'm going to help some of you feel a little bit older this morning, because in just 3 years, in the fall of 2026, the 50th anniversary of Rocky will take place. Yeah, 50th. So, Rocky was one, as I was in junior high and high school when it came out in 76. You know, that was one of those, if you were anything close to an athlete, you found the stairs somewhere close to your house that you faked were, you know, Freedom Hall, running up, and you jogged up those steps. I only went up about five, you know, to the Rocky theme, okay? And then when Rocky II hit, it was the Eye of the Tiger. You know, and so everybody worked out to the Eye of the Tiger. But as I got ready to share with you this morning, it was actually Rocky III that came to my mind, because there is one line in Rocky III. Now, for those of you that are a little bit confused, Rocky III is not where Apollo barely beats him at the end. That's Rocky I. It's not where Rocky beats Apollo right at the end. That's Rocky II. Rocky III is where Apollo becomes his manager. Now, I don't want to give you the spoiler for a 48-year-old movie, so I'm not going to say any more. But Rocky is fighting a new fighter named Clubber Lang. And because Mr. T can say it better than I can, watch this.
What's your prediction for the fight, then?
Prediction?
Yes, prediction.
Pain.
What's your prediction? Pain. Unfortunately, we live in a world where Mr. T, or Clubber Lane is not wrong. Because we live in a world that is filled with pain. Matter of fact, James, in James chapter 1, verse 3, tells us this. He says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, for whenever you face trials of many kinds," whenever, not if ever. Okay, and I know we've heard that before, okay? But we shouldn't be surprised when life hurts. Matter of fact, Jesus himself, as he's talking to his disciples in the Gospel of John, says this, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you have tribulation." In this world you have tribulation. "But take courage," Jesus says, "for I have overcome the world." We live in this tension of joy, of hope, but living in a world that is filled with pain. And I want to tell you something this morning. I praise God and am so thankful that I am part of a church family that is really good about responding to the world that is in pain. I'm curious this morning, show of hands, how many of you have been here 15 years or less as a part of the church family? Okay, look around. Raise your hand high. I'm not going to embarrass you. Yeah, okay. Half, maybe, of our church wasn't here when, before the gym and the commons was built, there was an apartment complex over there. And when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans and all of the refugees fled to Dallas, that apartment complex was filled with refugees. And then groups from this church responded and went to New Orleans to help with cleanup. 10 years ago, this past April, if you weren't here and you've been here less than 10 years, if you lived in Texas, you will remember that the fertilizer plant in West exploded and demolished blocks of that city. And this church responded. In December of 19, during the holiday season, when the tornadoes hit Rowlett in Garland, this church responded. October of 2019, during the middle of a Dallas Cowboy game, which was more important than a National Weather Service warning, apparently, when the tornado landed just the other side of Love Field and worked its way up, and we had members who had family whose houses were destroyed, this church responded. I am thankful to be a part of a church that has the eyes of Jesus, that when we see people physically hurting, we respond. That didn't change this past week. Because on Friday morning of last week, an elder called and said, "We need to do something." So we got it together. And last Sunday, people brought clothes and shoes and diapers. And we filled tables in the gym. Go ahead, Tracy, if you want to show some of those pictures. We responded to the Parrington tornado. And we filled tables with clothes and with stuff. And then on Tuesday night, during the midst of the unbirthday party, when they had another service project planned, the people who came for the birthday party took an hour and filled 30-plus boxes that got packed. And when I tell you all of that happened in an hour, I had imagined what it was going to take the staff to do that prior to going. Okay? But whether you brought clothes, whether you made a donation, or whether you were here on Tuesday night and helped, you are part of a church family that responds to people in pain. Now, I've got to be honest. I love my friend Ed Ballard. But when all of this was going on last weekend, I had a little bit of a Jonah moment that I've just got to confess to you. Because in my world, I'm like, Ed, why are we responding to a people in Perryton, Texas? Now, a little bit of humor. Ed calls on Monday. He's like, hey, by the way, how's that stuff getting up there? Well, that would be us driving, Ed. But God convicted me as Jim and I made that trip on Wednesday. Because we got up to Perryton, and all of a sudden, we're seeing all of these fire trucks. Not from Perryton, not from Childress. Hang on, Tracy, hold off on that, please. But there were fire trucks from Trophy Club. There were fire trucks from North Fort Worth, from Waco, from Hewitt. And it took me seeing where they came from to realize this simple fact. When you live in a place that is blessed with resources, it is our job to respond to the crisis that is before us. So I was convicted of that. But not just myself and not just Jim, but then we start hearing the stories because we get there, Mike Peterson is the preacher there, and we take all of this stuff, and he's like, he wasn't there when we first got there, and we said, okay, well, we just want to see with our own eyes. And we did. We saw the destruction in that first picture. Tracy, you can go to it now. Our understanding is the reason we couldn't use our cell phones in Perryton because that was what was left of the main cell tower. And then we kept driving, and it wasn't just that they couldn't communicate, but people's businesses, their livelihood, had been destroyed. And you see this picture, just cars flattened in front of a business. Because it just struck. Matter of fact, the preacher there told us they'd actually canceled the tornado warning about 2 minutes before the tornado struck. But then you go to the homes and you see the destruction of where people used to live. And some of them were just gone. Some of them, like the first house, people there are still living in those places because they have nowhere else to go. But see, this church responds. But we don't just respond as a church. We get there, and Mike Peterson, the preacher, says, hey, do you know this person? And we're like, oh, yeah, we know who that person is. said, well, they called today and asked, is there anything specific that we need? And he said, because we can't get propane to the town yet, we're providing charcoal grills so people can cook. And this person said, hey, I want to buy, what charcoal do you need? He said, well, our goal is 130 bags. And that person said, done. We are blessed to be part of a church that loves well and responds well to crisis. The challenge is that we respond to a crisis in Parrington and we leave. Which we have to do. And it's not long until the next crisis comes along. And it's easy to forget that for the people of Parrington, that's their new normal. Living in pain and suffering. And you don't have to usually wait long to find the next tragic event where people are now suffering that weren't before. Here's a picture that I actually texted Julie. If you can see at the top right corner, there's a blue dot. That's where Jim and I were at. You're looking at the storm that leveled Matador on Wednesday night. Down at the bottom of that is Childress, and I texted Julie and I said, it's simply a race to see whether the storm or us gets to Childress first. Jim and I are here. We won the race. Little secret, if you ever drive with Jim, you're going to win just about every race. But the reality is, we do respond well. The problem with pain is much of the pain in the world is not pain that we see. If all pain were that evident, it would be easy. And wouldn't it be easier if we wore signs that simply said, I lost my job. My family's falling apart. I'm depressed and I'm not sure why I want to keep living. My children are hurting and I don't know what to do. I'm not happy. And life is just getting the best of me. And the signs go on and on and on. And the problem is, that pain is well hidden. Because we learned at an early age to kind of hide our pain, right? Parents did this, we did this as parents, okay? Your kid's running along and they slide and they fall, and what do? Get up, you're okay. I remember the day I had to go to the school and the nurse had called me and Hayden had fallen on the playground. I told Jim what happened. He said, you cannot say that in church. I will tell you this. Hayden and I went from the school to the emergency dentist of Fort Worth and spent 2 hours getting teeth turned in the right direction. He never cried. He was a tough kid. But we grow up, and I'm not supposed to hurt, so jump up, dust off, and keep going. And then all of a sudden, we get a little bit older, and we're not really sure how to express that I'm hurting because I live in a world where it's seen as weakness. And so I mask it, and I don't share. I want to share two things real quick, and I see it's 10:59. You're getting bonus time today. Praise God. Let me give you three things real quick, though. When it comes to dealing with people in pain, I want to tell you three secrets. Number one, the most important thing you can do for people in pain is to be present. You being there makes a difference. I live in a world where part of what I am responsible for is walking into the pain of people who are hurting, of people who have received bad diagnosis, of people who are transitioning from this world into eternity. That's where I live. And I don't have magic words. What I've learned is I need to be present. Okay? Second thing is listen first and talk third. Now, Julie will tell you I've never been really good at math. Mike Boone is really quizzed back there. He's looking at me like, you don't know how to count and you're preaching this morning? Here's what I want to tell you. Listen first. Listen second. And talk third. Or other words, listen long and talk short. You remember the story of Job. Job chapter 2, Job has lost his family, he's lost his house, he's lost his wealth, he's lost everything. Job's friends hear about it. Job chapter 2, verse 11, they come to him and they sit with him for 7 days and don't say a word because they see the pain that Job is in. And they went to bring comfort to Job. And they brought comfort by being there. But after day 7, they started opening their mouth. And they got in trouble. Listen long. Talk short. Let's jump, Tracy, to not the next slide, but what do you say to people in pain? People who are in grief? People who are hurting, that are suffering? How many of you have ever been in that situation and you're reluctant to go because you want to be there, but you know that you're going to have to say something and you don't know what that is? Let me tell you four things that I would encourage you to say. When you walk into someone who is hurting in grief, you tell them that you're sorry. You're sorry for their pain. You're sorry for their loss. You're sorry for the diagnosis they just received. And I want you to know that I am praying for you. Caveat, time out, but then do it. Okay, if you tell someone you're praying for them, let me tell you the best time to pray. It's when you turn around and you walk away. God bless in their pain and their suffering as they deal with the loss of the loved one, as they deal with someone who is, you know, in their family that's hurting. Whatever the situation, it's a simple prayer of God be with them. I love you, and I will be here for you. And then you mean it. Don't say, and I could give you a 25-minute lesson if you want part B, things not to say, not what I've heard you say, things I've said myself. Okay? I would encourage you, I will be here for you, and then follow up with them, because when we say, call me if you need anything, people never call, because we like to deal with our pain on our own. So call them instead. Our challenge is to continue to deal with the pain that we see when the world around us hurts. The bigger challenge is for us to be present and to love and to show compassion so that people feel comfortable talking to us about the pain that's unseen. What if? When the world, or the city of Dallas, or the state of Texas, or the community of University in Highland Park, whatever, however you want to define it, what if when they hear the name Preston Road Church of Christ, the first thing that they were to think about, that group of people loves well, and they care when people hurt. Or as Jesus said it in John 13, may the world know that you are my disciples by the way that you love one another. Let's stand and sing.